Welcome to www.kirkingles.com. What to know about co-signing a loan? Be sure you realize the financial responsibility you're taking on before co-signing a loan. Your friend or family member wants to take out a loan but they don't qualify. They could, however, if someone co-signs, so they ask you. Before you jump in to help, understand how the decision potentially impacts your credit. Consider the following carefully. What happens when you co-sign? There are potential risks when co-signing a loan. You are 100% responsible for the debt. When you co-sign, you agree to pay the loan back in full plus any late fees or collection costs if the primary borrower defaults or misses just one payment. If you can't pay, the lender could sue you or garnish your wages. It can lower your credit score. The primary borrower's late or missed payments can prevent you from qualifying for personal loans or other lines of credit in the future. Factors to consider before co-signing. Think about the following before agreeing to co-sign a loan. Is the borrower able to make payments on time? If the primary borrower doesn't have a steady source of income, making on-time payments may become an issue. How can you protect your credit? Ask the borrower to make any missed payments within 30 days to ensure your credit score theirs, too, doesn't take a hit. Your investment is key. If you're comfortable co-signing a loan, treat the debt like it's your own. Set a timeline. Agree on a specific date to get your name off the account. To do this, the primary borrower must refinance the loan or close the credit card. Monitor the account. Review online statements to make sure the primary borrower is regularly making payments. Four strategies for credit card debt consolidation and payoff. Learn more about each strategy to find the right option for you. If you have credit card debt, you're not alone. According to estimates by NerdWallet, total American credit card debt topped $905 billion in 2017, an increase of nearly 8% from the previous year. And each household that carries credit card debt owes an average of almost $16,000. Footnote reference. If there's one achievable financial goal you can make for the year, it's to reduce, if not eliminate, what you owe on credit cards. You'll need a plan, but the results are worth it. You'll break free from that monthly budget line item and the ever-increasing credit card interest. Here are four strategies to consider. Select the ones that work for you. Pay a set amount that's more than the minimum. Many people pay only the minimum payment on credit card balances, setting themselves up for a long payback. Instead, try to pay the same amount above the minimum for each credit card, and pay that total even as your debt decreases. The strategy directs additional resources toward the principal, helping to lower payoff time and interest. Pay off the highest interest rate credit card first. More interest equals more debt, which is why advocates of what's known as the avalanche approach insist that the immediate focus of any debt reduction program should be the balance on the highest interest rate card. This helps eliminate extra interest charges. However, if you have a large balance on your highest rate card, it may take longer to pay off the debt, which may cause you to lose motivation. Pay off the lowest balance credit card first. Sometimes referred to as the snowball approach, this method of paying off debt focuses on the smallest balance first, which can help build motivation to continue paying down credit card debt. Once that balance is paid off, put the monthly payment toward another credit card balance, perhaps one with a high interest rate. Transfer balances for credit card debt consolidation. If you have a good credit score, you may be able to qualify for a zero or low percent balance transfer, consolidating debt from several credit cards into a lower interest rate card. But read the fine print. If there's a transferred fee, make sure you'll save enough on the temporary interest reduction to make the cost worth it. Also, be aware of when the introductory low rate period ends, and try to pay off all, or as much as you can, within that window before the interest rate goes up and adds to your debt. Avoid adding new debt. With any of these strategies, try to stop using your credit cards while you work to pay them off. This may require a careful rework of your budget. But if you must charge, make sure you have enough in cash to pay off the purchase in full. 6 reasons your mortgage was declined. The path to getting a mortgage isn't always a straight line. The path to a mortgage isn't always a straight line. According to Pew Research Center, 12% of home purchase loan applications were denied in 2015. A piece of your financial history could block your mortgage. Here are 6 common reasons people aren't approved for a mortgage. Your credit score is too low. Pulling your own credit report, also known as a soft inquiry, doesn't affect your credit score. In fact, regularly checking your credit report is a responsible financial practice. You are entitled by law to 1 free report from each of the 3 reporting bureaus every 12 months. Keep in mind that if a lender pulls your score to approve a new credit account, it is a hard inquiry and can lower your credit score. You typically have to authorize this process. The most effective way to positively influence your credit score is to pay your debts on time. You have too much debt. The sum of your debt payments each month, including your current mortgage, should be less than 35-40% of your total monthly income. Your best plan for lowering debt is to make a plan to pay it off. Remember, closing a credit account lowers your available credit, which can raise your debt to credit, also known as credit utilization ratio, and therefore lower your score, especially if you carry balances on other cards. Your loan amount and home appraisal value don't match. Options included a second appraisal or a different lender. If you buy a home, it should cost no more than 2 to 2.5 times your household income, and ideally your mortgage should be no more than 80% of the home's value to avoid paying mortgage insurance. Consider including in your purchase agreement a contingency clause that allows you to back out if your loan falls through, the home doesn't appraise at its sale price, or you lose your job. You've applied for too many credit cards. Applying for a mortgage within 6 months of applying for any other type of credit may influence your credit score. Analyze your situation prior to opening several accounts in succession. Opening too many accounts quickly and multiple credit inquiries can take points off your credit score, more so for someone with few credit accounts or a short credit history. You have spotty employment history or big income shifts. Consistency is key. Lenders usually request at least 2 years of tax returns so they can meet regulatory guidelines to verify stable employment and income. Before you start your home search, meet with a lender or mortgage broker to determine how much money you are qualified to borrow. Having a pre-qualification letter in hand offers peace of mind to you, the seller, and your real estate agent. You don't have a down payment. Without 3 to 20% of the purchase price saved, expect approval snags. The amount you'll need for your down payment will vary depending on the size of home, its location, and the type of mortgage you seek. Some lenders may offer loan programs with low down payment options, but may require mortgage insurance, which will increase your total monthly obligation. Discuss your options with your lender. Your best bet? Thoroughly review your finances. Save as much as you can and get pre-qualified before you view the for sale listings. Your savings account. Want to save but still have access to your cash whenever you need? A savings account might be right for you. A savings account is one of the most basic ways to save money, as well as one of the safest. Deposits of up to $250,000 are insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation bank accounts, who insures deposits at the nation's more than 7,000 banks and savings associations. The FDIC identifies, monitors, and addresses risks to these institutions. The National Credit Union Administration Credit Union accounts, who regulates, charters, and supervises federal credit unions. Savings account. Basic savings accounts are liquid or quickly convertible to cash, which makes them ideal for short-term savings, such as for the holidays, a major purchase or a vacation, or an emergency fund. If you need your money right away, you need only to withdraw it from your account. Liquid money available for quick withdrawal. Emergency fund money available during financial hardships, such as unexpected medical bills. Electronic funds transfer. The transfer of funds from one account to another via computer wire transfer. Electronically transferring funds from a person or an account to another. This type of transfer is most often used for an individual transaction automatic clearinghouse ACH, an electronic network of financial transactions that large volumes of transactions in batches. Interest rates. Typically, the trade-off for liquidity is a lower interest rate. While you'll earn interest on the money in your savings account, it won't be as substantial as with other investment vehicles. In other words, you're probably not going to get rich or retire off the interest you earn from a traditional savings account. But that's not the point of short-term or emergency fund savings anyway. That's not to say that you shouldn't shop around for the best rates and savings account for yourself. Most institutions offer a few options with a range of interest rates, balance requirements, and monthly service fees. And those are the main items you need to be aware of when choosing your savings account. Annual percentage yield APY, the annual rate paid to a depositor, compound interest, interest computed on the sum of an original principal and accrued interest. Fees. Fees for savings accounts include monthly service fees and transaction fees. If you're a savvy saver, avoiding these fees is possible and desirable. Regularly paying fees can eat up the interest you earn, and possibly your savings as well. Monthly service fees are those charged to simply have an account. But many financial institutions will waive these fees if you maintain a specified minimum balance, or participate in an automatic deposit program. You may eliminate transaction fees by being aware of your banking habits. If your bank limits withdrawals from ATMs and charges a fee for any withdrawals over a certain number, plan your withdrawals to stay within the limit. And try never to use out-of-network ATMs, those owned and operated by other banks, as you'll likely incur a fee from both the ATM owner and your bank. Some banks refund fees charged for use of out-of-network ATMs. Overdraft, withdrawing more money than is available in an account. Overdraft protection, an extension of credit or an automatic transfer of funds from another account you own, usually with the same institution. Balance requirements. Balance requirements are often linked to interest rates. Many banks and credit unions will pay more interest in return for having a higher minimum balance in your savings account. While this may seem reasonable, you need to be sure that you can maintain that higher balance. If you dip below the minimum amount at any point during the monthly service fee will still be assessed. Also, if you have a significant sum of money, a savings account may not be best savings vehicle for you. You may want to meet with a financial advisor to establish an investment plan. As with any type of savings, your best plan of action is to deposit your money and leave it alone. After all, when interest is compounded, even a small amount of money will add up over a period of time. Please visit our site to www.kirkingles.com for more information on Austin State Farm Agent.